Hello, welcome to Back to the Blockbuster, the brand spanking new podcast where we talk about cult classic movies for each decade. So on the podcast today, we're going to be covering 1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm the host, William Main. I'm here with the young man, Adam Barr.
And
the lovely Charlie Crawford Wells.
Hello.
So how are you doing today? He's all right?
Doing good.
Good?
Yeah.
First time on the podcast, how are you feeling? I mean, it's the same for me, but how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Nervous? Yeah.
No, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to talk about it.
Ready to talk about this great film.
Let's get into it then. Right, so first off, we've got thoughts and feelings on the film. I'll let you two go first. So who wants to start, Adam?
Okay, I'll start. I'd say overall, I thought the film was made very well, and I'd generally watch it again. And the way the characters were portrayed and the way Freddy was portrayed, it was brilliant. I loved it.
What about yourself, Charlie?
I quite liked it. It was a first watch. So
aye, first watch?
Yeah, nice. I would watch it again. It was a great movie.
It's in the cinema in a couple of days' time, so get yourself down.
I know.
Get a wee bit of popcorn, get spooky, man.
I know.
Well, I'm going to get a rundown of the plot of the film, obviously, in case anybody's not watched it. So pretty much, there's these kids, and then they start complaining about somebody after them in their dreams. Which is our protagonist.
Yep.
Or antagonist, Freddy.
Antagonist, Mr. Freddy.
So he pretty much kills teenagers in their dreams. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much...
What a great guy.
Seems like a good guy, man. Well. Like to have a beer with him. But so that's the general kind of outlay on the film. But my thoughts is, it's not a first time watch for me. I've watched it like, I don't know, must be about 20, 30 times. Used to watch it with my dad when I was a wee boy. So loved it, man, but each time I watch it, there's more things I pick up on that, and as I get older, I prefer, obviously we've all seen, like, Halloween and Friday the 13th and stuff like that, but that's just kind of a new take on, like, the slasher genre, I think, because, obviously, they were all just a couple of big dumplings with masks on, cutting about, trying to stab you, but this is a different kind of in the dream, I kind of like that aspect of it. It was something a bit different, and obviously, Jason and Michael Myers as well, they've got, like, masks on. Freddy's kind of got a mask in a sense where he looks all deformed and that, but he can still talk and he's quite funny at times, which I think was something Wes Craven was actually going for.
Yeah.
So that's the thoughts and feelings. Score, actually. The score, anybody like the score? Soundtrack?
The iconic song, the
nursery rhyme as well, man.
It's like you already know that before you watch the film.
When you were a kid, even when I watched it for the first time,
you already know it.
You still play hopscotch out in the garden?
I
seen you and Charlie in here before with the rope. So obviously, for anybody that doesn't know, that's does anybody want to use a rendition? One, two, wee Adam's coming for you. Anyway, so right, we're going to move on to favourite scene of the film. Has anybody got a favourite scene? We'll start with Charlie this time.
My favourite scene was Johnny Depp, the actor, was falling asleep.
Young Jonathan.
Yeah. And Nancy was trying to call him to keep him awake, and the tongue came through the phone as Freddy and was like, "I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy," and licked her. I thought it was hilarious.
As much action as Nancy got, man. I think her and Lee Glenn were even.
No.
I think they were just friends, man. A hug maybe here and there, but I didn't see any smooching.
No.
What about yourself?
Oh, I've got to say that my favourite scene was, I think that takes place after that, is when Johnny Depp is sleeping, and then I think he goes into a dream, he doesn't know, and then he kind of wakes up and the bed kind of opens and he's dragged under it, and you can see the shoot of the blood. I just thought that was done amazing.
No! I'm going to be talking about the effects and how that was done later on. But now my favourite scene in the film was it's in the school. And I feel the film was quite good at times, no knowing when it's in a dream, so you don't know what's real and what's not.
Exactly.
My favourite scene was, so they're in school and there's a guy, he's reading Hamlet, and he's reading it as if, yourself, when you get called up to reading school,
you're not really
enthusiastic, are you, about it? So he starts that, and then kind of see the eyes shutting for Nancy, and he starts getting dead animated about it, let's say. Yeah. But the line he says is it's something to do with along the lines of something to do with bad dreams.
Were it not that I have bad dreams?
And then Nancy sees Tina, who, spoiler alert, gets done pretty quickly in the film. Which was also kind of cool. I like that as well, because she kind of got made out to be like the leading lady.
The leading lady. Like, it opened up. I thought she was going to die, and then she didn't.
And then it kind of leads
on. Like 5 minutes later,
yeah, first 10, 15 minutes, uh-huh, they kind of portray it as she's going to be the one that's like leading the line, uh-huh, and then bang. So she gets taken out. So she's getting dragged along in a body bag along the school hall, and then turns a corner and synth music kicks in. Nancy runs into this heavier set woman wearing the same kind of stripy jumper as Freddy. So you kind of get the initial scare thinking it's him, and then you get, mm-hmm, oh no, it's not.
And then
she runs away, and you hear, Nancy, no running in the hallway. With the glove. So yeah. I kind of like that.
Hey, Nancy, no running in the hallway.
Used to always creep me out when I was a wee boy, that's my favourite scene. Right, so we're going to be talking about now what inspired the film.
Okay.
Anybody got any wee fun facts about that? Adam, let's go with your big one.
What inspired... So the name... Freddy was actually based on like an old drunk guy that Wes Craven saw when he was a kid. I think he woke up from like a bad dream or something, and then he saw him outside, and maybe the clothes that he's wearing... You know, it's one of those things when you're a kid and you kind of think, oh man, that scared me then. Right. And when you look back on it then you think, oh man.
I think the guy will turn around and look.
Aye, he looked down the window or something.
Knew he was kind of...
And then he just walked away.
So I kind of... But to be fair, that's probably something that happens a thousand times a night. I've probably done that. Yeah. Turns around mad, but looked in a window and not even noticed something's been there. So, I might start doing that so it inspires kind of films like this.
I should do that.
What about yourself, then?
Obviously, the name Freddy, that came from... he was bullied in school, that was like his bully's name, like Freddy.
West Craven?
Yeah, West Craven. So, like, the bully was Freddy, so that's where the kind of name came from.
Emotional drama. Yeah. As a kid.
Nice, man. Well, I read that... so it was kind of based on Wes Craven kept reading these articles. I think it was somewhere in Asia or Cambodia or something like that. There was people reporting like something was after them in their dreams. Something was out to get them, and then they would wake up. They wouldn't wake up.
Yeah,
they would be dead. But he read about it, and then I think it was after the third one that kind of stuck with him. There was this boy complaining about something following him in the dream, and then he was like refusing to go to sleep, and he had like a portable, see like the thing Nancy has in the film, the wee coffee.
Yeah,
the coffee station thing.
Which pulled out of nowhere.
I don't know where he got that thing, but I don't know where she pulled that thing. I think the boy actually had that in his room. But so apparently he was complaining about this, wasn't he sleeping for however many days. Went downstairs, watched something with his family, fell asleep on the couch, they took him to bed, everything was all right, and then in the middle of the night, they heard him screaming and walked into his room and he was dead. So that kind of inspired, because, nobody really knows what happens. I mean, I doubt it was Freddy, but obviously something. So that kind of inspired it, which was pretty jailbait, if you ask me.
Actually, the last name Krugo was actually a person in another one of Wes Craven's films. Last House on the Left.
Last House on the Left. I've not seen that, but I've heard it. I think it's something to do with hillbillies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it actually got like kind of scrutinized for that and like The Hills Have Eyes, because like the over the top goal in like the 70s and stuff like that. But so another thing, it was filmed. Oh, what was it? They made a student project, Wes Craven and Hingy, and it was a parodied contemporary horror film, and it was filmed on Elm Street in New York. So that's just a wee fun fact as well. We're gonna go on to production and the production costs and stuff. So does anybody know how much it cost to make?
It cost just 1.8 million.
1.8 million to make. And how much did it gross, do we know?
Probably a lot,
that time, but for the film.
I think it was about 50 million, 57 million or something. Okay. So, which is no bad for a film in the 80s. I don't know how much that would be.
back then that would have been.
I guess because it was completely different as well.
And it goes so different, didn't it?
And you can't just like there's lots of people that lots of bad people that have never done myself pirate movies now. So yeah, obviously,
it's sad to say.
You're not incriminated. You're not.
We hope not.
So the general production. Wes Craven. He wrote it off the back of making two movies, so he had enough money to just take 6 months off and just like solely work on this. I seen something as well. It was only 32 days to film it or something like that.
That's
which isn't a lot.
It's not a lot, but for that time and for that amount of
the film, will get like that's such a good movie out from it.
For 32 days,
yeah.
Of just filming this
with that budget as well, but and there was also like 80 in a 90-minute film. There was like 80 odd like special effects. Which obviously I want to talk about the special effects, dive into that. So, has anybody got any scenes? Effects?
I see when in the part of the scene, see when Freddy's face is like ripped off. See the bit when Tina's like they're fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually just a puppet done, and you know like the scale one, and it was used by KY Jelly.
KY Jelly. I've heard that in like songs and stuff like that. But yeah. I don't actually know what I don't actually know what KY Jelly is, but I've I have heard of KY jelly. I'd assume it's just jelly.
I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's like, I think it's meant to be quite thick.
Yeah, that's what, because it makes a lot
I think
like
it's used a lot in like special effects. But obviously, talking about Freddy's like face, like it took 3 hours and 11 pieces for him to get like his mask on.
Oof,
so like that would be an early morning for him.
He's walking about with his lunch.
Actually, I heard that he was eating lunch, but I've been out for lunch with worse looking people than Freddy. Talking about Freddy, Robert Englund, they said he put like black ash under his eyes for the audition.
Yeah.
Which, so I think that just kind of made him stand out and stuff like that. But so the effects, see the one where he's over the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in the remake, I've seen it, and it's a big CGI stupid thing that comes out and it looks terrible. But this one in the original, it was literally just a spandex panel, and the guy took it one take, bang.
And boom.
He did it.
How much did it cost?
They said it was genuinely something like $1 or something.
$1?
Something. Obviously they can't like, but for just like the actual like.
It makes it look good. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Another scene. See the bathtub scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got like So they just like obviously Nancy's in the bath and then the hand. I think they had to watch because that one they used like there
wasn't
was
it that real
was
more blades. Sharp. Yeah.
There was different gloves they used and stuff like that, wasn't there? There was
one
like,
for like other kind of fine sort.
But this was the real one, and obviously the guy couldn't see underneath. It was the special effects. It was Jim Doyle, so he was under. They just cut a hole in the bottom of the bath, and then put him down. Held his breath, and then he just kind of had to gauge like where he was going, stuff like that. Pretty much, because. I would have sliced her up real bad. So anyway, when he pulls her down, and it just kind of goes all black, it looks like a never like the pool, the water. Mm-hmm. It looks like a never
like
ending.
Infinite,
it looks like a never ending like ocean. But they just got like a pool and just put down like black.
Did you say was that a public pool?
I think they just rented a public pool. And they got like black sheets and just kind of put them down. So they kind of gave it that effect. But have you any other effects?
Do you know the funny scene with the long arms when Freddy is
that's
like
a bit dated.
It's like much earlier on in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But like that was just done with two fishing poles held at the side, which you can tell when you're watching the movie. But it's like it was one of those like scenes that's like you always will know.
It's pretty cheesy, but it's still it has some long arms in that, I'll tell you that, man.
Yeah.
See in the scene.
Bryce Tina done a bus road and laughing.
And see in the scene, see when Tina's in the body bag, and you can see when the point where, you know, like it's another prosthetic face and there's actually like a wee bug that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually a real bug.
With a centipede?
Aye, centipede, mm-hmm. That was it. And then again when they did that, and see the actress who played Tina,
mm-hmm.
See again. Used her for actual real face, but then they used like a fake bug to go.
And she pushed it out.
Nobody wants a real bug in their mouth.
No, definitely not, man. I mean, that would be pretty.
I think some folks still would do that though. Like spider crawling out.
They probably would.
It had to be done, mate. It had to be done. But
now
one of the big scenes was obviously Tina's death. So that took like obviously it's quite confusing to watch. It's like the whole room's kind of spinning. She's on the ceiling and getting dragged and that. So how they done that was they made a revolving room, so that took a month for them to make. So they had to like strap everything in to the room, so they had to like strap like the cameramen in, and they had to like bolt everything to like the walls and like bolt the bed down so that like nothing moved, obviously for health and safety kind of reasons. And then they just get four people at the side outside it to like push the room, so the room was like turning. So like it wasn't like a big animatronic thing that was moving. It was literally just like people pushing a room and hoping. Well, obviously there was safety precautions to make sure that nothing would fall. But so that was done, and
looks good though.
The actress that played Tina, I can't remember her name now. I think she was complaining of like vertigo because she's like on the ceiling and then somebody's looking up, or she's on the floor and somebody's in the ceiling and she didn't know what was up and what was down. So
while she's been spinned.
Exactly. And I think they used that same room as well for the Johnny Depp one. Mm. See, like the scene you were talking about the blood.
Oh, that'd been ruined afterwards. With
would have been ruined all that.
I think that was the last thing they done. But
wasn't that taken in one take as well?
Aye, they weren't even allowed in the room, they were saying, because like there was that much hingy. So there was 220 gallons of the fake blood. So they said they just
strapped the cameras.
I know, pretty much strapped the cameras in and said that. Said they waited outside and they could just hear it like it was like a big ocean just dropping, man. And then obviously they checked the footage and it seemed to work no bad. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool, man. And the carpet sinking scene as well. See where they're like running up the stairs at the end. Like Wes Craven didn't want that in the film, apparently. And Bob Shea, like the guy for New Line Cinema, which was like pretty much would have been bankrupt if this didn't work. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously true. It made a lot of like stuff like Freddy versus Jason and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Blade or that kind of franchises. He wanted it in the film, so I think Wes Craven ended up just losing the rag and said, "Look, mate, if you want it done, you can direct it." So just a wee fun fact: the film is directed by Wes Craven, but Bob Shea. Bob Shea's got a scene in there as well.
It's a really good like scene.
I see the way it was done.
It's pretty cool, man. But I think they had kind of like some creative differences, I think, on the film. Mm-hmm. Like, see the end, the scene where the mum gets pulled through the door and stuff like that. I don't think Wes Craven wanted that. He wanted to just do it like a one and done film, but he wanted that. Bob Shea obviously wanted a sequel and stuff like
but
that.
But obviously
so.
Left it open ended, so yeah.
That's true.
Well, I think they kind of came to a compromise. You see with the hood, obviously, that's like the
car.
The hood that's like the stripes is in Freddy's jersey.
Yeah.
But no, originally the Bob Shea guy wanted like Freddy right next to Nancy in the car. And then I think Wes Craven was like, "That's like pointless. What's the point in that?"
Nah, but then the car, kind of.
Nah, exactly. I look quite cool, but like, obviously, it's just to get more sequels and make money and stuff like that. But and the mum getting pulled through the thing as well.
Wasn't that a doll? That pulled through the door first.
Aye, they had no money. Apparently, and I think they've done it in one take, and some guy luckily just managed to pull it. Yeah. You can tell it's not.
You can tell it's fake,
but still, I mean, it's. But I don't really like that scene, but it's that is what it is, isn't it? So,
I mean, obviously the car being like Freddy's jumper and everything. Freddy's jumper is actually like based on the DC comic character Plastic Man.
Plastic Man, I'm not familiar, but
No,
I mean, I don't know if he's a bad guy or a good guy, but it must have been something he read when he was younger.
Like something like Wes Craven.
Wes Craven.
Wes Craven. Like obviously, it's like quite vivid in his head. Obviously, it was red and green because, like, he was like, that's most clashing colours.
Aye, pretty contrast, isn't it? It's just kind of throw people off and stuff like that. Kind of beats your plane, like, I mean, it would have been the same if he was just cutting about in a black jumper, would it?
Nah, yeah. It just makes all the... You wouldn't remember it as
well. No, exactly, man. Yeah. It's pretty...
iconic.
I know, I hate that word. I was going to say it, but iconic. Aye, so any more special effects that we want to talk about?
Obviously, from my favourite scene, like the tongue. Mm-hmm. That was actually a mechanical tongue that was just stuck onto the phone.
Aye.
Which was like, it's quite cool. You can tell it's like quite funny and it's like.
Aye, because it just kind of goes like. I mean,
yeah, it just like wiggles like a little out, bit. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I know, I don't know how they done that, but they it was.
Yeah, no, just a mechanical just tongue. It.
That's pretty cool, isn't it, man? But obviously, they must have needed to. So, did they build the Freddy thing and then just chuck it on the bottom of the phone? I think they've done that.
Yeah, you can tell it's just been placed on the phone. So.
Nowadays, it would just be a big CGI tongue or something about that big.
See, back then, see the way they did that. Brilliant.
What about you? Any more scenes?
Well, see, you know the scene when Freddy's like, you know, he's on fire and all that, and then when he runs in, and then you can kind of see, I think he must have jumped on the bed with the mum's it, and then after that, I think Nancy and our dad running, and then you can kind of see like the mum's skeleton.
Aye, and it just kind of fades into the bed.
In, and then you see it, she kind of goes in. It's just like the scene with Glenn, where you go in, it's like a bunch of smoke and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Aye, no, it was pretty cool. I don't know. Aye.
I thought it was like a fake scale or something.
I'm not sure how, but the smoke in that was cool, so it was probably
just a smoke machine.
A smoke machine or something.
I think that was like the worst kind of effect, because it was like you could tell.
There was a lightning and stuff as well.
Yeah, you could tell that they were running out of money at that point.
Let's just think of doing all this.
Probably the same doll they used for pulling her through the window. I know, but just talk about him on fire.
Yeah.
Like, they actually hired, like, a guy.
Like, an actual guy.
A stunt guy. He's, like, speciality. The guy actually just loved being set on fire.
Right, set me on fire.
So I think, like, they set him on fire, and then he's running up the stairs, and then I think the guy threw his cell back down the stairs, and then Wes Craven was like, this guy's been on fire for a really long time. Is he going to be all right in that? And then I think they put him out, and the guy was like, that's class, man. Do we need another shot in that?
Again?
I was like, mate, imagine your job. I know, fair enough. Stunt
job's getting set on fire.
Stuntmen are, like, ridiculous. But imagine being, like, that off your nut that you just love getting set on fire.
It's like they get lathered up in a whole lot of stuff.
And if he's wearing the suit, I mean, you can tell it's obviously not Robert Englund, but I'm sure he still had to put... You said it was 3 hours for...
Yeah, like, 3 hours for the mask.
That's a pure detail mask, but he's probably still had to spend about maybe an hour, 45 minutes getting put into that mask. And obviously all the big clothes, and then just to get set on fire.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be me, but...
No.
Another thing I'm going to touch on, well, we're going to touch on, is the camera work. I really like, see, like, the first scene, see how she's, like, running through the... Like, it's kind of like
boiler room.
Like the big alley, and it's like kind of like dripping. It's like the atmosphere. It's dead wet and damp, and makes you kind of feel like that. But now the use of shots, the wide shot was pretty cool to show you the whole area, and then the zoom in her face. Obviously, she's terrified, and then the wee goat that just runs by. I don't know why the goat was there, but
why is this goat?
It scared me. I don't know why. I'm not scared of the goats, but I don't know why.
I know, but the use of like shots in that one, they were like kind of teasing like Freddy's like way he looked as well.
Yeah,
like his hand coming around, a close up of that. I thought that was quite cool.
I think that was the idea. I think they said they didn't want to show too much, like too early, but his voice is quite like. Thingy as well. But he's always kind of in the shadows, and you get a glimpse here and there. You get like a extreme close up of the eyes, or you get like a shot of the glove in the distance, or the shadows and his face is kind of covered, which I thought was pretty cool.
It was definitely really well like filmed.
Yeah,
like,
it was well shot,
a lot.
Especially for like the time frame, as we've already touched on.
Days,
the close ups.
Yeah.
We'd see more the close ups of the characters, and you can see they're all scaled and all that.
Exactly, mate. But I don't know. Just. Even stuff like the sound effects and stuff for that as well. We've touched on the score, which is very synth heavy, kind of in line with '80s. But there's lots of different ones. There's the main one, and then there's like, there's different ones as well. So, just all in all, I think it was a really well made film.
Yeah.
It was very good,
especially for the time. Innit?
For 1984.
But let's hope we get like another. Original idea like that soon, man, because right now it's all just rehashed and
it's crap.
Aye, pretty much.
Like that Terrifier 3 film.
Oh,
that one, man. Crap.
Rotten, man. The special effects in that.
That was a low budget one as well, but
looked
it's actually, all
right, but
it's
like,
all right, but it's more just gory.
Looked worse than anyone else.
I'd rather watch that.
I know, we've not had any good like horror movies out in a while.
Not since the 90s.
I think the only good one that I watched, like when it came out, it was Insidious, a new one, but it's still
I like it. I like the MRI scene.
But
So we're going to move on to launching of careers. So obviously there was a few people in this that launched their careers, but I think the main one, we'll let you tell us about the main guy.
Yeah, the main one's obviously going to be Johnny Depp. That was his like first big thing.
Yeah.
So obviously that's led him so far now. Like everyone knows the name Johnny Depp.
I know, for good or for bad reasons. But he's a good actor, man.
He's quite good.
Actually, I seen him. I kind of like as well. He returned. It's a terrible movie, but Freddy 6. I think it's like Freddy's Dead or something it's called. And Johnny Depp's in like a 30-second scene of that. So it's kind of good.
Yeah,
like
the return of him is like coming
pretty
back.
Pretty much.
It shows that he never forgot about. He got him to where he is. Yeah.
So I think that was pretty cool as well. But you, Wes Craven, you talked about.
Oh yeah. See, even after Wes Craven died, or after his films kind of. Still were launched all the other Nightmare on Elm Street films, and as well for Scream, and kind of brought all that maybe Easter eggs and that as well for him.
Yep. Well, Heather Langenkamp, who played Nancy, she was in two later installments of the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. So she was in 3 Dream Warriors, which is like number two is kind of like it's the first sequel, but it's got nothing to really do with like
it doesn't continue
Nancy and stuff like that. It's a different kind of story, and then. But this, well, there's like one scene she's got a journal, right? But I so this one, she's back in it, and the third one, and then New Nightmare, which was kind of like a midnight. It was just before Scream. It was kind of like Wes Craven's first kind of hang out, like a meta kind of film. So it was like Freddy's. They were all the actors and stuff. Wes Craven was playing his cell. Nancy was Heather Langenkamp was playing herself and stuff. So she was in them. But now she runs AFX Studios with her husband, David Leroy Anderson.
Wow.
So she's a special makeup effects coordinator. She's done it for like films like The Cabin in the Woods. Seen that.
Cool.
Cinderella Man.
Cinderella.
Dawn of the Dead and Evan Almighty, believe it or not.
Evan Almighty. Oh, that's a good film.
So I obviously, after the first film, there was a lot that kind of came after it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of touched on the franchise. So there was... I think it was.
Well, you can scream now. Is there that, those films?
Yeah,
are
yeah. Mm-hmm. But actually, I'm just talking about in the actual Nightmare on Elm Street thing. There was six original films, and then the meta one, A New Nightmare, which is one I was just talking about. Then obviously we've talked about Friday the 13th earlier. I think New Line Cinema. I don't know if they had the rights to both of them or they worked at some sort of deal. But Freddy versus Jason, which was obviously like 2003, I think. So it was really really big for the time, kind of.
Yeah.
Two of these like horror icons coming clashing together. And thingy. I mean, the film, it's a bit cheesy and stuff. It's not bad, but I thought that was pretty cool. And obviously the remake in 2010, which is terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awful, even the way it looks and everything like that. But I mean...
That's just CGI.
Never had a remake that's really been as good as the original.
No.
So obviously, one more thing we're going to touch on is the Easter egg. So the Easter egg I'm going to talk about is... As you were saying in Scream, you watched it the other night. Did you pick up on it?
I did actually pick up on it.
So obviously, Wes Craven's like the director of... Nightmare on Elm Street, and he goes on to direct Scream, which we might be talking about soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a scene, and there's a janitor, just like, and he's just sweeping up the floors in the school, and he's got on the Freddy's hat and the same colour jumper, or similar colour jumper, and the principal gets a fright, and then he goes, "Oh, it's just you, Fred." Obviously, like
the janitor's name.
Aye, which is pretty cool. Also, see when Glenn dies as well, the station's in A Nightmare on Elm Street, the station's KRGR, which kind of like shows you in the dream, which is Kruger, which is pretty cool. But as I said, I like the stuff where you don't know what's in the dream and stuff for that as well. Yeah. Like, mind when Nancy and stuff, she's going to see Rod in the jail, and then Glenn's meant to be watching.
Yeah, and he like jumps out.
Glenn's meant to be watching over her, like in the sleep, and then she asks in the dream, or she just asks, "Are you still awake?" Kind of pops out like, I'm awake.
But that kind of tells you he is also asleep if he's there.
But then you're like thinking like, has he just followed her the whole way? But that wouldn't really make sense. So I think that's pretty cool. But overall, I really liked it. So
good film.
You should watch some of the you should watch two for the dance scene.
The
dance scene's amazing. Anyway, that's pretty much. I think that's pretty much it. So thanks for listening. We're going to be talking about Scream, another Wes Craven film, on the next podcast. So stay tuned for that, and see you later. Thanks for coming on, people.
Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Cheers.